The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 18, text number 24 till 50, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 14th, 2007, in Helsinki, Finland.
Tonight we are continuing on with this wonderful study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, chapter number 18. Picking up from text number 24 and continuing onwards. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ekada Danar Udyamya.
Ekada Danar Udyamya.
Vicharan Mrigayang
Vane.
Mrigana Nugata Shranta. Chauditastrishobrisham Jalashayam Machakshana Pravivesyatam Ashramam Dadarsha Munim Asinam Shantam Militalochanam. Once upon a time, Maharaj Pariksit, while engaged in hunting in the forest with bow and arrows, became extremely fatigued, hungry and thirsty while following the stags. While searching for a reservoir of water, he entered the hermitage of the well-known Shamaka Rishi and saw the sage sitting silently with closed eyes. Text 26. Prati rudhendriya prana. Mano buddhim uparatam. Stanatrayat parang praptam. Brahma bhutam avikriyam. The muni's sense organs, breath, mind, and intelligence were all restrained from material activities, and he was situated in a trance apart from the three, wakefulness, dream, and unconsciousness. Having achieved a transcendental position, qualitatively equal with the Supreme Absolute. Vipakirna jatachchanam.
Vipakirna jatachchanam.
Ravravena janena cha.
Ravravena janena cha.
Vishushyatalurudakam.
Vishushyatalurudakam.
Tathabhutam avachato. The sage in meditation was covered by the skin of a stag, and long compressed hair was scattered all over him. The king, whose palate was dry from thirst, asked him for water. Alam datrina bhum yadir. Asampraptargya sunrita. Avagyatum mivatmanam. Manyamanaschukopaha. The king, not received by any formal welcome, by means of being offered a seat, place, water, sweet addresses, considered himself neglected. And so thinking, he became angry. Purport. The law of reception in the codes of the Vedic principles states that even if an enemy is received at home, he must be received with all respects. He should not be given a chance to understand that he has come into the house of an enemy. When Lord Krishna, accompanied by Arjuna and Bhima, approached Jarasandha and Mogoda, the respectable enemies were given a royal reception by King Jarasandha. The guest enemy, namely Bhima, was to fight with Jarasandha, and yet they were given a grand reception. At night, they used to sit down together as friends and guests, and in the day, they used to fight, risking life and death. That was the law of reception. The reception law enjoins that a poor man, who has nothing to offer his guest, should be good enough to offer a straw mat for sitting, a glass of water for drinking, and some sweet words. Therefore, to receive a guest, either friend or foe, there is no expense. It is only a question of good manners. When Maharaj Parikshit entered the door of Shamika Rishi, he did not expect a royal reception by the Rishi because he knew that saints and Rishis are not materially rich men. But he never expected that a seat of straw, a glass of water, and some sweet words would be denied to him. He was not an ordinary guest, nor was he an enemy of the Rishi, and therefore the cold reception by the Rishi astonished the king greatly. As a matter of fact, the king was right to get angry with the Rishi. They needed a glass of water very badly. To become angry in such a grave situation was not unnatural for the king. But because the king himself was not less than a great saint, his becoming angry and taking action were astonishing. So it must be accepted that it was so ordained by the supreme will of the Lord. The king was a great devotee of the Lord, and the saint was also as good as the king. But by the will of the Lord, the circumstances were so created that they became ways to the king's becoming unattached to family connection and governmental activities, and thus becoming a completely surrendered soul under the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. The merciful Lord sometimes creates such awkward positions for his pure devotees in order to drag them towards himself from the mire of material existence. But outwardly, the situations appear to be frustrating to the devotees. The devotees of the Lord are always under the protection of the Lord, and in any condition, frustration or success, the Lord is the supreme guide for the devotees. The pure devotees therefore accept all conditions of frustration as blessings from the Lord. Oma jnana timadandasya gnanjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam shtapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam. So, if the devotee takes all conditions of frustration as being blessings from the Lord, then can the devotee ever be frustrated? Is it? If even a frustration is taken as a blessing, then how is it possible the devotee can ever feel frustrated? So, if you are frustrated with being frustrated, then you have to adopt this mood. Are you fed up with being frustrated? You see? If you're sick and tired of feeling frustrated and despondent, then all you have to do is accept all conditions of frustrations as blessings from the Lord. And by doing so, you will never be frustrated. You'll never feel frustrated ever again. Never. No more frustration, you see. And this is the secret of how to become fixed in Krishna consciousness. One has to see every condition, even the most frustrating condition, as a blessing from Krishna. And then no anxiety will ever touch you ever again, you see. So the question is, intellectually, we can all understand the logic, right? But how many of us are actually doing that? Understand? We can understand the philosophy, but how many of us are actually doing it? How many of us are living in that mood? The number would be very small, you see. We're actually living in that spirit. So my question is, why? Why we are not adopting this? Even though we know it's true, what's holding us back from tasting this nectar? What's keeping us in the frustrated position? You see, that's a very important question. Why are we not fully taking this spirit that Prabhupada describes here? What is holding us back? You see? Do you know what is holding us back? It's the spirit of so-called enjoyment. I want to enjoy. I want to be the center of enjoyment. You see? That is holding us back. That enjoying mood, that is the enemy, the living being. You see? Sometimes people write me, they say, I'm not enjoying my chanting. I'm not tasting the nectar from the names. What am I doing wrong? And I say what you're doing, I tell them what you're doing wrong is you're trying to enjoy the name. Instead of trying to serve the name, give enjoyment to Krishna. You see, you're trying to be the enjoyer. So that's really what holds us back. You know, we try to enjoy Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to give up trying to be the enjoyer. Try to see always that Krishna is enjoying, that my spiritual master is enjoying my service, you see. That is the mood. To try to give enjoyment to Guru and Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Not that I'm not enjoying this, what's wrong? Prabhupada gave a very graphic point one time in the lecture. He said that surrender to Krishna, he says not that, you know, if I'm not happy, I leave from the temple. He said that is not Krishna consciousness, you see. You simply have to see if Krishna is satisfied, you see. Oh, I'm dissatisfied, therefore I'm going away, you see. That is not Krishna consciousness. Your satisfaction. You see, Krishna consciousness means I do not care for my satisfaction. I simply want to see that Krishna is pleased. You see, so that is the secret of success in Krishna consciousness. You have to always think, speak, and act in a way that is pleasing to your spiritual master and is pleasing to Krishna. That's what you have to do. Stop trying to enjoy your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. Try to give pleasure to Guru and Krishna by your every thought, word, and deed. If you do so, then you'll be very fixed up, you see. So what does that mean? It means we have to follow the instructions. We have to find out what instructions have we been given. And let us do that. And to be honest, we're not always doing a very good job of doing them. Prabhupada has given so many instructions, and still, in so many ways, due to ignorance or stubbornness, we're not always doing what Prabhupada said. Sometimes it's just ignorance. Devotees mean well, they just don't know. Just like an example. In the Prabhupada said this, should be six lines in the kirtan. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivedanta. And then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And then Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. But all over ISKCON, we see devotees add an extra word which Prabhupada did not give. They put Hari Haraye in there. It's very common, practically in every temple where I go. When I lead the kirtan, harayin, all the devotees respond, hari, hari. I didn't lead it. It's not given by Prabhupada. But devotees think we're supposed to put hari in front of it. That's not what Prabhupada says. Look in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. See exactly what Prabhupada says. Those of you who are pundits, look it up. Harayin nama. So why do we chant hari? It's a confusion with the bhajan by Narottam, where hari is in the bhajan. Narottam Das Thakur, he put those two lines into his Pavitra Bhajan Nama Sankirtan. As the in his bhajan is goes Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Ke, you know, it's in the songbook. Hari is in that bhajan. Also Yadavaya Madhavaya is in that bhajan, you see. So what's going on here? Actually, those two lines, Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama, Gopal Govindaram Shimudusam, that was a very popular kirtan during the time of Lord Chaitanya. So Narottam put those in his song. It's not that those come from Narottam's song. Narottam was after the time of Lord Chaitanya, if you study the Narottam Vilas. He appeared after Lord Chaitanya left the planet, you see. He added those lines to his songs because they were very popular lines from during the time of Chaitanya. But the actual lines that Prabhupada said we should sing is Harayin, without the Hari in front of it. But practically in every ISKCON temple, everyone goes Hari, Hari. Actually, everyone used to go Hari Harayin Nama Krishna Yadavaya Madhavaya. But Jayadeva Swami made a big point about it. And I've been, even before he made a point, I've been doing it the right way, without Hari also. Because I read it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see. Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Gopal Govindanam Shimadusanam. That's what Prabhupada said. So sometimes it's just we're ignorant, you know, we just haven't really done our homework sufficiently to know what we're supposed to do. But in so many ways, you know, either we're lazy, we're lusty, we're greedy, you know, for so many reasons we don't do what's actually pleasing to Srila Prabhupada and to our spiritual master. And we justify it, well, I'm fallen, you know, I'm not advanced. Well, guess what? If you keep trying to justify your nonsense by, well, I'm fallen, I'm not very advanced, you'll remain fallen and not very advanced. And in that condition of being fallen and not very advanced, you know what you'll get? Temporality, illusion, and misery. That's what you'll get. You see? If we don't take the process seriously, then we won't taste the nectar. If you want to taste the nectar, you have to take the process very seriously. And then you will taste the nectar. And then, when some frustration comes along, you won't be bewildered. When you get a death notice that you're dying of terminal cancer, you won't be frustrated, you see? If you've taken the process seriously, then you'll think, wow, this is great. I get to dive even deeper now into the holy name, deeper than I've ever... Deeper than I've ever divin or dovin, I forget which one it is, into the holy name. Ever before, now I have special blessings. I can dive deeper, 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 deeper than ever before into the holy name, you see. So in this way, a devotee takes even the most devastating reverses of this material nature as the most wonderful opportunity to become more and more Krishna conscious. And in this way, the devotee becomes completely transcendental to all the pains and pleasures of the modes of material nature, and empowered, fully empowered and surcharged with the ability to be absorbed in transcendental ecstasy, ever-increasing transcendental ecstasy 24 hours a day. Would you like it? Ever-increasing transcendental ecstasy 24 hours a day. Would you like it? You can have it. This process works if you work the process, but don't hang on to your laziness. Don't hang on to your lustiness. Don't hang on to your greediness and your fault-finding, these negative qualities. Kick the personality of Kali out with boot from your heart. Take this process seriously and you will taste a happiness which is inconceivably sublime, inconceivably nectarian, beyond anything, beyond any happiness you even dreamed could be possible to experience for a jiva soul. That is available. Do you realize that the devotee of the Lord can enjoy more than Krishna? I think you all know that. A devotee can enjoy more than Krishna. As I've explained before, that's why Krishna wanted to become a devotee. He joined the bhakti, he joined the movement, he joined the bhakti program. Bhakta avatar. You see? He wanted to experience the nectar of being a devotee. Here I am, the supreme enjoyer, but I'm seeing that here's a devotee, Srimati Radharani. She is tasting more nectar than me. What is this? How can my devotee enjoy more than me? I'm the supreme enjoyer. I'm missing out on some nectar here. I'm not going to miss out on this nectar. I will become devotee also. I'm not going to let anyone outdo me. I'm going to become a devotee also. So he took on the complexion and the mood of his most beloved devotee, Gaurangi, the golden, that beautiful golden-limbed girl, you see. He took on her mood and her complexion, and he became Gauranga, you see, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just so he could taste the nectar of being a Hare Krishna, you see. If God himself wants to be a Hare Krishna, it must be really cool to be a Hare Krishna. It has to be the coolest thing, you see. Because Krishna can do anything. He can enjoy in any way he wants. There's no limit to his enjoyment. But he decides there's nothing more enjoyable than being a Hare Krishna. You see. So actually to be a Hare Krishna is the supreme position of enjoyment. Even God wants to join the movement. You see, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you should never feel that now I'm being denied enjoyment. The guru told me I can't have illicit sex. The guru told me I can't get intoxicated anymore. I can't, you know, I can't listen to mundane. The guru told me so many things and now I've been denied my enjoyment. No. All the guru has done, he has kicked the personality of Kali out of your heart. That's all he's done. So now you can really taste the real nectar of being an eternal spiritual being. And quality one with Param Eshvar, God himself, you see. So kindly do not misunderstand this process of Krishna consciousness. If you misunderstand it due to passion or due to ignorance, I guarantee you, you will experience frustration. Again and again and again. Frustration. If you don't want to be frustrated, then take this process. As it's coming down from Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas. Take this process. Make your life successful. Do not take birth again in this material world. So now we will continue on with text number 29. Abhutapurva-sahasa Chutribhyam arditatmana Brahmanam pratyabhut brahman Matsaro manyur evacha. O Brahmanas, the king's anger and envy directed toward the Brahmana sage were unprecedented, being that circumstances had made him hungry and thirsty. Satu Brahma Rishir Angse Gatasum Uragang Rusha Venir Gatschandanus Kotya Nidhaya Puram Agata. While leaving, the king, being so insulted, picked up a lifeless snake with his bow and angrily placed it on the shoulder of the sage. Then he returned to his palace. Isha king nibrita shesha Karano Militekshana Mrsha Samadhir Ahosvit. King Nusyad Chatrabhandubhi. Upon returning, he began to contemplate and argue within himself whether the sage had actually been in meditation with senses concentrated and eyes closed, or whether he had just been feigning trance just to avoid receiving a lower kshatriya. Dasyaputra tatejasvi viharan balakorbakai Ragyagam praptipam tatam Shrutvatatre damabravit. The sage had a son who was very powerful, being a Brahmin son. While he was playing with inexperienced boys, he heard of his father's distress, which was occasioned by the king. Then and there the boy spoke as follows. Aho vadharma palanam pivnang bali bujamiva swamin aghang yadasanam dvarapanam shunamiva. The Brahman's son Sringi said, "Oh, just look at the signs of the rulers who, like crows and watchdogs at the door, perpetuate sins against their masters, contrary to the principles governing servants." Brahmanai chatrabandhurhi grihapala narupita Sakatang tad grihe dvasto Sabhandang bhuktamarhati. The descendants of the kingly orders are definitely designated as watchdogs, and they must keep themselves at the door. On what grounds can dogs enter the house and claim to dine with the master on the same plate? Krishne gate bhagavati shashtar yut patagvaminam tadbina setum adhyaham shashmi pashyatame balam. After the departure of Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead and supreme ruler of everyone, these upstarts have flourished, our protector being gone. Therefore, I myself shall take up this matter and punish them. Just witness my power. It yukdvaroshatam raksho vayasyan rishi balaka kashik yapa upasprishya Vagrajang visasarjaha. The son of the rishi, his eyes red hot with anger, touched the water of the river Kaushika while speaking to his playmates and discharged the following thunderbolt of words. Ittilangita maryadang Takshaka saptamehani Dangshati smakulan garang Chodito metatadruham. The Brahman's son cursed the king thus. On the seventh day from today, a snake bird will bite the most wretched one of that dynasty, Maharaj Parikshit, because of his having broken the laws of etiquette by insulting my father. Tato bhetyashramang bhalo galesarpakalevaram pitarang vikshatu kyarto Muktakando Rurodaha. Thereafter, when the boy returned to the hermitage, he saw a snake on his father's shoulder, and out of his grief he cried very loudly, Sava Angiraso Brahman. Shrutvasutta Vilapanam. Unmilya Shanakair Netre. Drishvachangshe Mratoragam. O Brahmanas, the Rishi who was born in the family of Angira Muni, hearing his son crying, gradually opened his eyes and saw the dead snake around his neck. Visvijatang chapa prachcha. Vatsakasmadhirodishi. Kainavate prakritam. Yet yukta sanya vedayat. He threw the dead snake aside and asked his son why he was crying, whether anyone had done him harm. On hearing this, the son explained to him what had happened. Nisham yashaptam matadarham narendrang. Sabramano natmajam abhyanandat. Aho batang ho maharajyate kritam. Api yasi droha arur damodrita. The father heard from his son that the king had been cursed, although he should never have been condemned, for he was the best amongst all human beings. The rishi did not congratulate his son, but on the contrary began to lament, saying, Alas! What a great sinful act was performed by my son. He is awarded heavy punishment for an insignificant offense. Purport. The king is the best of all human beings. He is the representative of God, and he is never to be condemned for any of his actions. In other words, the king can do no wrong. Shishi Gornitai Shishi Radhadamadar Ki Jai. The king may order hanging of a culprit son of a Brahmin, but that does not become sinful for killing a Brahmin. He does not become sinful for killing a Brahmin. Even if there is something wrong with the king, he is never to be condemned. A medical practitioner may kill a patient by mistaken treatment, but such a killer is never condemned to death. So what to speak of a good and pious king like Maharaj Parikshit? In the Vedic way of life, the king is trained to become a Rajarshi, or great saint, although he is ruling as king. It is the king only by whose good government the citizens can live peacefully and without any fear. The Rajarshis would manage their kingdom so nicely and piously that their subjects would respect them as if they were the Lord. That is the instruction of the Vedas. The king is called Narendra, or the best amongst the human beings. How then could a king, like Maharaj Parikshit, be condemned by an inexperienced, puffed-up son of a Brahmin, even though he had attained the powers of a qualified Brahmin? Since Shamika Rishi was an experienced good Brahmana, he did not approve of the actions of his condemned son. He began to lament for all that his son had done. The king was beyond the jurisdiction of curses as a general rule, and what to speak of a good king like Maharaj Parikshit? The offense of the king was most insignificant, and his being condemned to death was certainly a very great sin for Sringi. Therefore, Rishi Shamika regretted the whole incident. Of course, Maharaj Parikshit, being a powerful Vaishnava, he could have overturned that curse. But he took it as a very good opportunity to prepare himself for going back to home back to Godhead. Of course, on the other level, it is this curse of Sringi that opened the door for Kali Yuga to come. You see? Before that time, the Brahmins were proper Brahmins. But this is the beginning of the fall down of the Brahminical culture. Just like nowadays we see in India, these so-called Brahmins, they do all sinful nonsense. They are not Brahmins. So they are all descendants in the line of Sringi, because he is the first Brahmin who misused his position of Brahmin to act against Dharma. You see? The Brahmin is the upholder of Dharma. If the Brahma acts against Dharma, then the whole society is polluted. The whole society is poisoned. Therefore, in this Krishna consciousness movement, our mission is to train up a new class of qualified Brahmins who act in accordance with Vedic principles, who have an attitude which is in accordance with Dharma, who speak in a way that is in accordance with Dharma, and who act in accordance with Dharma. The so-called Brahmins in India, who are not acting according to Dharma, they criticize the Hare Krishna movement. That how you can create Brahmins out of mlechas, people who were not born in Hindu society, how you can make them Brahmin, you see. But the verdict of the Shastra is something different. According to the Shastra, you can be from any background. It doesn't matter. Even a dog eater can become qualified to perform Vedic ritualistic ceremonies if he becomes a Vaishnava, you see. So we see in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one Muslim, he was born outside of Hindu society. He was born in a Muslim family. He became dedicated chanter of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So much he was devoted to chanting Hare Krishna, he was given the title Namacharya. You see, his name, Haridas Thakur, he was given that name. You see? So that is the proof. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, he elevated a Muslim to become the Acharya of the holy name, a Muslim. You see? So there is no consideration that you are not born in a Hindu family. It is simply a matter of qualification. When we go to India sometimes and visit that wonderful, wonderful city, Jagannath Puri, the great holy place, we go to the temple and we ask, can we come in? They say, no, you're not allowed because you're not born in a Hindu family, you see. But I asked the priest, I said, what is the name of the deity here? Is it Jagannath or Hindunath? You see? Am I not part of the universe? This is my Lord? You see, they are acting like it is Hindunath. But actually he is Jagannath. He is the Lord of the entire universe. He's the Lord of the Muslims, the Christians, the atheists. Every living entity is a servant of Jagannath. You see, why the servant is not allowed to come and see the master? Especially one who is strictly following Vaishnava principles better than the born Brahmins in India. The ISKCON devotees, they are more strictly following the Vaishnava principles than the born Brahmins in India. You see? So, this is all because of Sringi. This is all because of Sringi. He spoiled Brahminical culture by misusing his position as a Brahmin. So this is a warning to all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. Now by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you have been elevated to the position of Brahmana. Now you must not misuse that as Sringi has misused it and bring further degradation of this age of Kali. You see, you must properly utilize that position of Brahmana given by the mercy of Guru, for the benefit of the human society. So now we will continue reading here. Text number 42. Navai nirbir naradevam parakyam. Samattamarhasya vipaksha bhude. Tatejasa durvishahena gupta. Vindanti bradrani akato baya praja. Oh, my boy, your intelligence is immature, and therefore you have no knowledge that the king, who is the best amongst human beings, is as good as the personality of Godhead. He is never to be placed on an equal footing with common men. The citizens of the state live in prosperity, being protected by his unsurpassable prowess. Alakshamane Naradeva Namni. Ratanga panavayamangaloka. Tadahi chara prachuro vinakshyati. Arakshamano viraruta vachanat. My dear boy, the Lord who carries the wheel of a chariot is represented by the monarchical regime. And when this regime is abolished, the whole world becomes filled with thieves, who then at once vanquish the unprotected subjects like scattered lambs. Tadujjana papam upaityanan vayam. Yannashjana tasya vasor vilumpakat. Parasparang yati shapanti vrinjate. Pushun triyorn tan purudashya vojana. Due to the determination of the monarchical regimes and the plundering, due to the termination of the monarchical regimes and the plundering of the people's wealth by rogues and thieves, there will be great social disruptions. People will be killed and injured, and animals and women will be stolen. And for all these sins, we shall be responsible. Just see that this Shamika Rishi, he is a perfect present, perfect knower of past, present, and future. So he can predict what will happen. He's very advanced sage. He can understand what will be the result of what his son did. So we can understand what great, great anguish Shamika Rishi is now feeling in his heart, that his son will be the cause of people being killed, injured. Horrible things will come. Animals will be going to the slaughterhouse. Women will be abused like anything. He's understanding this is all because of what my son did. So what a horrible feeling the father must have at this point. Tadar yadharma pravilayate nrinam. Varnashrama chara yatastra yimaya. Tatarta kama bibineshi tatmanang. Shunang kapinang iva varna sankara. At that time, the people in general will fall systematically from the path of a progressive civilization in respect to the qualitative engagements of the castes and the orders of society and the Vedic injunctions. And thus they will become more attracted to economic development for sense gratification, and as a result there will be an unwanted population on the level of dogs and monkeys. Sound like what we're seeing nowadays? Yes. Dogs and monkeys. Shamika Rishi knew that there would be dogs and monkey caliber people on this planet. Dharmapala Narapati Satu Samrad Brahachrava Sakshan Mahabhagavato Rajarshir Hayam Hedayat Chutrit Shamayuto Dino Nai Vasmach Chappamarati. The Emperor Parikshit is a pious king. He is highly celebrated and is a first-class devotee of the Personality of Godhead. He is a saint amongst royalty and he has performed many horse sacrifices. When such a king is tired and fatigued, being stricken with hunger and thirst, he does not at all deserve to be cursed. Apapeshu svabrityeshu Balena pakvabhudina Papankritam tad bhagavan Sarvatma chantamarhati. Then the Rishi prayed to the all-pervading Personality of Godhead to pardon his immature boy, who had no intelligence and who committed the great sin of cursing a person who was completely free from all sins, who was subordinate and who deserved to be protected. Tiraskrita vipralabdha Shapta chipta hatha api Nashatat pratikurvanti Tad bhakta prabhavopihi. The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. Iti putra krita ghena sonutapto mahamuni svayam viprakrita ragya naiva gang tadachintayat. The sage thus regretted the sin committed by his own son. He did not take the insult paid by the king very seriously. Prayashasadavo loke Pairaidvan veshu yojita Navyatanti nahrishyanti Yata atma gunashraya. Generally, the transcendentalists, even though engaged by others in the dualities of the material world, are not distressed, nor do they take pleasure in worldly things, for they are transcendentally engaged. Purport. The transcendentalists are the empiric philosophers, the mystics, and the devotees of the Lord. Empiric philosophers aim at the perfection of merging into the being of the Absolute. Mystics aim at perceiving the all-pervading Supersoul. And the devotees of the Lord are engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Personality of Godhead. Since Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are different phases of the same transcendence, all these transcendentalists are beyond the three modes of material nature. Material distresses and happiness are products of the three modes, and therefore the causes of such material distress and happiness have nothing to do with the transcendentalists. The king was a devotee, and the rishi was a mystic. Therefore, both of them were unattached to the accidental incident created by the Supreme Will. The playful child was an instrument in fulfilling the Lord's will. And thus end the Bhaktivedanta reports of the first canto, 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Maharaj Parikshit Cursed by a Brahmin Boy. So, we have our choice. We can be mundaners or we can be transcendentalists. You see, we have that choice. Mundaner means one who is within the influence of the three modes of nature. Transcendentalist means one who is beyond the influence of the three modes of material nature. Some people say, well, it's all my karma. Because right now my karma is to be a mundaner. Earn money, spend money, enjoy. That's my karma. So what can I do? It's my karma to be a mundaner. But no. Yes, it is your karma to be a mundaner. But the point is that you have a choice. You can get out of karma chakra whenever you want. You see? It's not that you, as long as you choose to remain within karma chakra, you are a slave. You are under the laws of predestination. You're forced to act, think, and speak in certain ways according to the dictates of the modes of nature. That's it. Your destiny is laid out. It's unalterable as long as you choose to remain within the modes of nature. But if you would like to be a transcendentalist, if you would like to get free from the influence of the modes of nature, you can do so at any minute. Do you want out? That's the question. You have to understand from the scriptures, from the bona fide spiritual master, and from the Vaishnavas. You have to understand what is the difference between being within the modes of nature and being outside of the modes of nature. Some people think, well, if I'm outside of the modes of nature, how can I exist? Well, you can exist very nicely outside of the modes of nature. You do not depend on the modes of material nature for your existence. You actually have an identity at this very minute which is outside of the influence of the modes of material nature, but right now you are suffering from amnesia. You have forgotten your eternal identity which exists outside of the modes of outside of the mode of nature. And what is that identity? That is given in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know the verse? Why not? You should read the books. Learn the verses. Jivera svarupa hoy krishnera nitya das. The constitutional position of the living being is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. You see? So, do you want to come to your original identity before you fell into the influence of the modes of nature? Before you slipped into the quicksand of material existence, would you like to come out to the liberated position? Or do you want to remain in the quicksand? You see? We have that choice. We have the choice. If we want out, then Krishna will send the bona fide spiritual master. If we want out, Krishna will give the scripture. If we want out, he will send the Vaishnavas to enlighten us and deliver us from the quagmire, the quicksand of material existence. You see? Do we want out? That's the question. Well, generally we don't. That's the sad reality. We think, well, I got some money, I got some honey, I'm in good shape. You know, I got an apartment, I got some refrigerator, you know, I'm all set. Hey, the animals have that too, you know. The bird has his nest. That's not the perfection for a human being, just to have an apartment. Comfortable apartment in Helsinki, Finland, you know, with good heat to keep me warm in the winter. That's not the perfection. You see? Sorry. That's not the perfection. If you are up in the woods, wherever it is, you know. We have to actually come to the eternal nature of the living entity beyond birth, beyond death, beyond old age, beyond disease. And then we can actually understand what is real happiness. You may have your comfortable apartment in Helsinki, but can you Will that apartment prevent you from getting old and sick and dying? Is it? Can it protect you from old age, disease, and death? No, it's not possible. You see? If you want to actually become happy, you must come to that position which is beyond birth, death, old age, and disease. That is the transcendental position. That requires guru. That requires scripture. That requires the association of Vaishnavas, you see. If you have these things, then you can become delivered. You don't have to say, oh, I have to wait for my karma. No. Get out of karma chakra. Grab the mercy of the spiritual master that's being thrown to you. It's like you're drowning in the ocean. The spiritual master is throwing you a lifesaver. Grab onto it. He's going to pull you out of the ocean of birth and death. But if you don't grab on, say, no thanks, Gurudev, I'll swim for it. I'm strong. I don't need your mercy. I'm just going to swim for the shore. You know, you're 800 miles out in the middle of the Atlantic, and you're going to swim for the shore? Is that intelligent? You will drown for sure. There's no way you're going to swim 800 miles, you know, to make it back to, you know, Helsinki or wherever, you know. No way. If you're drowning in the ocean and the spiritual master throws you a lifesaver, take that lifesaver. Take it. Take advantage of them. And let the spiritual master pull you aboard the boat of transcendental knowledge, you see, so that you can actually become happy. You can actually become satisfied. You can actually realize your eternal spiritual identity as a servant of God. So, we can stop here. I'd like to ask if there's any questions. Yes?
No problem. About this Hara and Anakrista, you say that we shouldn't sing this Vatsang in Kirtan. We should chant these two verses, this Hara and Anakrista.
Yes, the word, if you want to follow Prabhupada's instruction, then you should do what Prabhupada said. Why do you want to add something extra that Prabhupada didn't put in his instruction? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but I mean, we shouldn't sing the whole bhajan.
Oh no, the whole bhajan can be sung. If you want to sing that bhajan, that's another thing.
But in
kirtan, Prabhupada said that we could sing bhajans during kirtan. There's nothing, no rule against them. Prabhupada did say, like he said, jeev jago. We can actually sing bhajans during kirtan. You know, we can sing the songs. That Namasankirtan can be sung. But if you're thinking that we want to follow Prabhupada's instruction to chant those two lines at the end of the kirtan, then you shouldn't sing Hari in front of it. Because that's, if you're doing the bhajan, then you can do Hari Hari. And it's all right when you're singing the bhajan. But when you're just singing the two lines, then you shouldn't sing Hari in front of it. Because you're not following the acharyas. You're inventing a new system. You know, you're mixing a little from here and a little there and coming with a new thing which was not given by the acharya. When you're singing the bhajan by Narottam, then you can sing Haraye Namak, Hari Haraye Namak, Krishna Yadavaya Namaha, Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha, Gopal Govindaram Shri Madhusudan, is it Giri Dadi Kopi Nata Madana Mohan? It's a very beautiful bhajan. I'm not knocking the bhajan. Don't misunderstand. That bhajan is sweet. It's so beautiful. Especially that one verse? Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. That's very, very wonderful. I worship Sri Guru, I worship the Holy Name, and I worship the Vaishnavas. It's so nice. It's a very wonderful bhajan. So when you sing that bhajan, yes, you can sing Hari. So when you're singing the two lines to follow Prabhupada's instruction about a standard kirtan, then don't put Hari in front of it. It's not what Prabhupada said. Why you want to do something different than Srila Prabhupada instructed? It's just being spaced out, is all it is. It just shows that devotees are spaced out. They don't know. They didn't read, or they read it. They didn't read it carefully. I mean, it's stupid. It's really stupid. So anyway, I'm going around ISKCON to remind everyone of this subtle thing. But the more we can follow the subtleties, the sweeter the Krishna consciousness movement becomes, you see. the sweeter it gets. When you can follow the subtle, the small rules should be followed also. The small things should also be followed. Prabhupada never said, you follow these four rules and you don't have to follow any other instruction I gave you. No, he didn't say that. He said, follow everything the spiritual master has given. So he has given, this is how it should be done. Haraye nama Krishna yadavaya nama Gopal Govindaram Shimadusadam. So why we want to do something different? We're more intelligent than Prabhupada? Did we know better than Srila Prabhupada? Does anybody here know better than Srila Prabhupada? Let's see a show of hands. If it's someone who knows better than Prabhupada. I certainly don't. There's an English saying, monkey see, monkey do. I consider myself simply a monkey. Well, Prabhupada, you know, I see what's there, so I do. I see what's there in the purport, and I do it. Even Srila Prabhupada said, he said, I am not perfect, but I'm following the perfect. He said that. I just read it today in the Veda base. He said, I am not perfect, but I am following the perfect. So that's my position. A million times more feeling imperfect. I'm not perfect, but I'm following the perfect. The perfect says, Haraye nama Krishna yadavaya nama Gopal Govindaram Shimadam. I'm not so advanced I can think something different. All I know is, Srila Prabhupada said, Haraye nama Krishna yadavaya nama Gopal Govindaram Shimadam. So I do that. That's all. And I know that that pleases Prabhupada, that I'm following exactly what he said. I know it pleases him. Any other question? So everyone is satisfied? Everything is understood clearly? Yes.
In the morning when we are chanting, we don't always realize the urgency of holding to this life saver.
Yeah, we don't. That's a fact. We tend to take the process for granted. Well, this is my routine. I have to do this, and you know, like we're getting a job at a company. You have to mechanically go through the thing. Yeah, we forget that actually we can directly meet Krishna at every second. We forget that. Krishna is actually right. The material energy for a materialist is a tremendous insurmountable obstacle. But when you take shelter of Krishna, Krishna is actually very close. There's just a very thin veneer separating us from the spiritual world. I mean, it's right there, very close. When one gets initiated, one seriously follows one's Guru Maharaj, actually the spiritual world is very, very close. It's not that far away. But unfortunately for us, it's so close, but yet so far, you see. Because we take the process mechanically. We don't realize that I can die at any second. So I have to dive completely, totally, right now, like Kadvanga Maharaj. You know Kadvanga Maharaj. Everybody knows Kadvanga Maharaj. Not everyone. Kadvanga Maharaj was very, very powerful Kshatriya. He was so powerful, Kshatriya king, warrior, earthly king. That the demigods are sometimes harassed by the demons in the heavenly kingdom. So the demigods were so much being overpowered by the demons, they could not stand up to the attack of the demons. So this Kadvanga was so powerful. They said, you must come and help us, because only you can save us from the demons. So he went there on the request of the demigods and fought very, very valiantly for many, many, many long years without losing his energy. It was incredible. He could fight, an earthly king was able to fight in the heavenly kingdom against the demons. And he defeated the demons. And the demigods were so pleased, they said, Maharaj, what blessing we can give you. Anything within our power we will give you. So he thought for a minute. He could have received any great material opulence, you see. He said, just tell me when I will die. That's all I want to know. When's my death coming? And the demigods, they can see the future very clearly. Oh, actually, you're dying just now. Death is just now coming for you. He said, thank you very much. And he took complete shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna and went back to home, back to Godhead, you see. So we should have that mood of Kadvanga Maharaj that let me completely surrender to Krishna right now, you see. Because this can be my last moment. I can die within a second. One of my godbrothers, he had some attack while he was giving class and he died. Gargavinda Maharaj in Mayapur. So, who knows? I could be sitting here giving a class and all of a sudden, poof, finished. You see? You never know what's going to happen. So you have to. One should always be completely taking shelter of Krishna. Never giving in to the material nature in any way. Always holding the material nature at bay, holding it off, fighting it off, you see. Krishna consciousness means declaring war on Maya. Always defeating Maya, not allowing yourself to think something that's improper, not allowing yourself to say something that's improper, not allowing yourself to do something that's improper. If we're always fighting, just like in an intense battle, a kshatriya is fighting the enemies. On every side, the enemies are attacking. He has to utilize every single ounce of his energy, his focus of mind, to hold off the enemies attacking from all sides. You see? So that's how our chanting should be in the morning. Like a kshatriya on the battlefield, being a maharati, fighting off 1,000 enemy soldiers, you see? We have to be maharatis, that we can fight off 1,000, that Maya can launch simultaneously 1,000 attacks against our mind. And we can fight off all 1,000 of them at one time, like a maharati. You see? You know, some thought of, well, I should go sleep, or maybe I can get a girlfriend, or, you know, maybe I can go out and earn some money, or maybe I, you know, so many thoughts may come. But we have to fight them all off. Every single material thought that may come to distract us, we have to just fight them all off like a maharati. And beg Krishna, my dear Lord, please bless me that I can take complete shelter of your name. Please bless me that I can completely, totally absorb myself in your name and in your service 24 hours a day without being disturbed by anything else. What does Prabhupada explain in his purport? Wonderful purport. He said the disciple, he should take the order of his spiritual masters, his life and soul. He should always meditate, he should constantly meditate on the order of the spiritual master. And then Prabhupada made it more emphatic, he should constantly worship the order of his spiritual master without allowing himself to be distracted by anything else. Anything besides the order of my Guru Maharaj, it is actually a distraction. I have no business to think about anything, to speak about anything, or do anything unless it is the order of my spiritual master. You see, this is the mood. And then always see how to successfully execute the order of the spiritual master. And this way, by becoming 100% absorbed in the order of Guru Maharaj, you see, the disciple becomes perfect in Krishna consciousness. You see. So, one therefore should always be absorbed in serving the order received from your beloved spiritual master. Never thinking him to be an ordinary man. It is described in the list of the 10 offenses, to disobey the order of the spiritual master. But in another list, those 10 offenses are given in several places. In another list, in the Bhagavatam, it says to consider the spiritual master to be an ordinary man, you see. Of course, those are the same thing, two different ways of saying the same thing. If you disobey him, you're thinking he's an ordinary man, that I don't have to follow his instruction. That means, so there are actually two ways of saying the same thing. If you understand that he's to be honored as being directly Krishna himself in the form of his representative, then you'll obey everything he says very religiously and devotedly. So by that complete absorption in Guru Seva, one will actually become perfect in Krishna consciousness. That's why Rupa Goswami, what does he say? Dao Garashvayam. Your very first business, if you want to become Krishna conscious, your very first business is to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. That's the first business. Dao means the beginning. Step number one. Adao Gurashvayam, take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. That's where it begins, according to Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. So, any other questions? So, everyone is now satisfied? There's no confusion, no delusion, no illusion. Everything's clear now? Huh? Crystal clear? Okay, what is it?
So, at the moment when you mentioned the Kali in the heart.
Kali Yuga?
Kali in heart.
Kali in the heart, yeah.
So, when Kali attacks, so what to do at that moment if one is feeling weak, where to get the determination to kick Kali?
If one gets an attack from Kali, you become lusty, you become angry, you become greedy. Then you have to immediately call for help. It's like you're sailing along on the good ship ISKCON, doing your service, and all of a sudden you slip on the deck and you fall into the ocean. Bloop. Then what do? You have to call for help. Help, help, I fall in the ocean. Krishna, save me, my dear Lord. I'm being attacked by lusty thoughts, by greedy thoughts, by angry thoughts. My dear Lord Krishna, please save me. Please, please, please save me, Krishna. Just keep calling out like a person who fell off the ship, you know, until somebody throws you, until you finally get the lifesaver. You just got to cry for help. Just like the one that a lot of people have trouble is with lust, you know. Many, many people have trouble with lust because it's such a lusty atmosphere now in the world. So the insider's secret is that actually the pleasure that you can get from satisfying lust, which is certainly the greatest pleasure in this world, according to Freud and to the Bhagavatam, yan maitanadi grihamedi sukham itucham. But the pleasure of calling out to Krishna, you see, of fully taking shelter of Krishna, is millions and billions of times more nectarian, more ecstatic than any kind of sex pleasure. So that's the secret. Calling out to Krishna with complete, total dependence, like a child crying for the mother, is actually the ultimate pleasure. So it doesn't matter what kind of attack you may have. If you become like a little child or a person who fell off the ship calling for help, that intense calling for the Lord will give unlimited oceans of satisfaction to the devotee if he puts himself in that mood of complete dependence. So in that spirit, whatever was attracting you just kind of, you know, fades into oblivion. It really fades out. You see, it fades away. That lusty desire, that angry desire, that greedy desire, it just fades away into nothingness again. You know, it evaporates into nothing. And Prabhupada said how if you put a glass of water out in the room, you know, eventually it evaporates. So actually this bhakti yoga system, it evaporates lusty desires, angry desires, greed. All these desires evaporate. They just go away in due course of time. So if you get a heavy attack, you just got to turn up the heat on the burner so the water boils away really fast and there's nothing left. So you can have a pot of water. If you turn up the heat, you can boil it down. And this is an empty pot. So if your heart's being attacked by lusty desires, angry desires, greedy desires, turn up the heat. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Ram, Hare, Ram, 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 Hare. Krishna, please save me. I'm being attacked by the material nature. Please save me, you see. You can quote some beautiful shlokas, but actually just calling out with your own language is a very powerful way to do it. Just in your own words, in your own prayer that you compose from your own urgency. If you just directly talk to Krishna and ask him, or to your guru, same thing. Pray to guru or pray to Krishna with the same intensity. And you'll be amazed at how this process really works. Cupid just thinks, well, I'm wasting my time shooting arrows into this heart. I better go somewhere else. You see? I'm wasting my time with this one. I'm just wasting my arrows on this one. This one's totally fixed in Krishna consciousness. You see? Cupid is Kama Deva, the god of love. Or he's also called Madan. But there is another person. He is called Madan Mohan, the one who will track Cupid away from your heart. You see? If I become afflicted with material desire, Cupid is shooting the arrow in my heart. But that Madan Mohan, he is so attractive that Cupid will become lured away by that beautiful Madan Mohan. So we simply have to invoke the mercy of Madan Mohan. And then Madan, he will lose interest in shooting arrows into our hearts. In this way, Krishna consciousness becomes very easy, you see. It's not difficult to become a pure devotee, really. You just got to stay focused. You see, it's not difficult to attain a haitaki bhakti. You see, it is not difficult. One simply has to focus on the process and remain focused in the process 24 hours a day, in all times, all places, in all circumstances. How will you do that? You have to have faith in this process. That if I put everything into Krishna consciousness, that I will achieve the supreme perfection of existence. You have to have faith. So how will you get faith if you don't have it? Well, the good news is, faith is highly contagious disease. You just have to find a devotee or devotees who are strong in their faith. You have to serve them with love. You have to hear them submissively, offer your respectful obeisances to them. And by that association, you will become infected with that disease known as Shraddha, faith. So if you're lacking faith, find out devotees who are infected with faith and get contaminated by their faith. You see, this is a wonderful infectious disease called faith. Find devotees who have faith and associate with them. Become contaminated, so-called contaminated. Any other questions? So now everyone is convinced. We have no doubters in the crowd. Everybody's ready to go back to home. All right. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON Helsinki Vaishnavas ki jai.